In 12th century Spain, there was a Jewish rabbi known as Maimonides. He is still revered as one of the wisest, most insightful rabbis ever. His writings are the frequent source of quotations for posters and things like that. I mean, I'm sure you're familiar with the adage, give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish and you feed him for a lifetime. Yep, Maimonides. Daniel plan followers will especially appreciate another observation by Maimonides. He said, let nothing which can be treated by diet be treated by other means. And every day, folks like you and me, as well as leaders of nations, should take inspiration and direction from Maimonides when he vowed, quote, I will destroy my enemies by converting them to friends. In his study of the 39 books of the Hebrew Scriptures, what we Christians call the Old Testament, it was Maimonides who is credited with noting that the Old Testament contains 613 laws or rules or commands. 613. And these laws deal with a variety of topics, including marriage and divorce and family, how to relate to people who don't believe what you believe, what makes for proper religious observance, how to treat employees and servants, and of course, how to think about and how to worship and serve God. 613 things. That's a lot to remember. Even if we were to decide that some of them were rather nitpicky or maybe they were outdated and don't really make much of a difference, we might be left with, what, 500? Still a lot to remember. A lot to try to obey as you go about your daily activities. A lot to keep in mind as you're going to work and feeding the cats and doing the laundry and mailing the birthday card to Aunt Shirley. 500 rules. If only there were an easier way to remember, a simpler way for us to gauge whether we're on the right track. Most of what we know about the early growth of the Christian faith, most of what we know is because of the writings of St. Paul, addressed to various Christian communities scattered throughout the Eastern Mediterranean. Paul's letters were so treasured that they survived through the centuries. The one we call the letter to the Romans was Paul's way of preparing the Christians in Rome for a trip he was planning to make there, though he hoped to go from there to Spain to preach and teach. Paul never made that trip because he was arrested and was taken to Rome as a prisoner of the empire. But the book of Romans contains his most complete statement of his message. Paul tried to explain, as Carol suggested, the practical implications of living with trust in God by following the way of Jesus. Now, having received a strict and thorough upbringing in the Jewish faith, Paul knew the Hebrew Scriptures as well as any rabbi. He knew the 613 laws and rules dictating much of daily life for observant practicing Jews. But in his letter to the Christians in Rome, and by the way, those Christians in Rome included Christians who formerly had been Jewish, like Paul. In this letter to the Romans, Paul made a bold statement. He proposed that those 613 laws and rules, including some of the best known ones that you heard, like don't commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet what belongs to someone else, all those laws and rules could be condensed and simplified. Here's what Paul wrote. all these and any other beside are summed up in the one command, love your neighbor as you love yourself. For if you love others, you will never do them wrong. To love, then, is to obey the whole law. That's what he wrote. To love, then, is to obey the whole law. 613 laws and rules that could overwhelm even the greatest minds could be condensed to one guideline. One guideline that anyone could remember. According to Matthew's gospel, Jesus had said something quite similar. Now, whether Paul was familiar with this incident, we can't tell, because the gospel, remember, was written after Paul's lifetime, so he couldn't turn to the gospel to check. It didn't exist yet. But in chapter 22, Matthew writes of a time when a leader of the Jewish temple tried to trap Jesus with a question. Here's what Matthew writes. Teacher, the leader asked Jesus, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important commandment. The second most important commandment is like it, Jesus continued. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. The whole law of Moses and the teachings of the prophets depend on these two commandments, Jesus said. And so, yes, even before the Apostle Paul, Jesus himself sought to condense the laws and rules and commands. So what's involved with loving your neighbor as you love yourself? Well, first, we need to reclaim the meaning of the term to love, because especially over recent decades, romance novels and the glitter of Hollywood have hijacked the idea of love. To them, love is either shallow, saccharine sentimentality without any foundation, or love is the passionate but fleeting attraction stimulated by biochemical instinct. They would have us believe that love is merely an emotional state of being. But a Bible scholar has cautioned, he quotes, that is not what the New Testament means by love. He writes, that God loves us hardly means that God gets a warm feeling inside when God thinks of us. No. We know God loves us, he writes. We know God loves us not because of the way God feels about us, but because of what God has done for us. God gave us the Son for our redemption. So guided by what it means that God loves us, we realize that love is not so much about emotion as it is about action. To love someone is actively to promote that person's good. Love acts for the good of another. Such love means to cease actions that harm another person and to do what promotes that person's good. If you love someone, you will never do them wrong. Now, that's a pretty tall order. Because while emotion is not at the heart of what it means to love, emotion can get in the way of loving neighbors as we love ourselves. Emotion could have gotten in my way last Thursday, I'll tell you. So we have some people doing some work at our house, and the foreman had called me with a question, and so I told him I could be there in 5 minutes. So I grabbed my jacket and I hop in my car. And at the top of the driveway hill here, I checked traffic, except for a gray minivan way down by the entrance to the cemetery. The way was clear, and so I pulled onto the road and I accelerated to the speed limit, and that's when I noticed that the woman driving the gray minivan had closed the gap very quickly, obviously driving considerably over the speed limit. In fact, she was almost on my bumper. And my righteous anger arose instantly because, just like you, I know that my impeccable skills behind the wheel are the envy of driving instructors everywhere. I mean, I've pulled out of this driveway thousands of times. I know how much distance to allow in order to enter traffic safely without cutting off another motorist. And so my mind started racing. This is all happening in the space of like 10 seconds. You get this? Who does she think she is? To impugn my driving skills by aggressively tailgating my vehicle. How should I defend myself? How should I put her in her place? Should I speed up? Should I turn off my route to get away from her? Gently tap my brakes so the taillights flash a little warning to back off? But as I had set out on this brief errand to meet with the foreman doing work at my house, I had just left my desk with this sermon still being developed. And so it was that in this moment, there was that one rule that inconveniently pushed its way into my consciousness. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Rats. In the now 15 seconds or so that had elapsed in this rearview mirror encounter with the driver of the gray minivan, how was I to put into practice the aim Maimonides had proclaimed when he vowed, "I will destroy my enemies by converting them to friends"? Well, I doubt I converted her to a friend. But here's what my brain processed. Again, in the span of just seconds, I recognized that I was emotionally on alert, feeling defensive, insulted. I acknowledged that I had no idea who she was or what was going on in her life. Was she speeding to the hospital? Was she late picking up her kid? Had she just left her attorney's office? I didn't know. But I realized it didn't matter whether she did or didn't harbor ill will toward me. There was no reason for me to respond with anger or revenge. And so I gave her the briefest prayer thought, apologizing in my head if I had offended her and wishing her calm and safety on her journey. And I went on my way and she went on hers. Remember, we know God loves us not because of how God feels about us, but because of what God has done for us. And in that moment, the issue was not how I felt, but about what I could do to show love. For as Paul had counseled the Christians in Rome, if you love someone, you will never do him or her wrong. Both Jesus and his powerfully influential advocate, Paul, condensed 613 rules and laws and commands down to one. And that realization brought to mind a song my wife Mary and I used to teach kids when we directed summer church camp for middle schoolers. It's a very simple song. We didn't need a songbook. We didn't need a program. We just have them sing with us as they were sitting around the campfire. Love, 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 love. The gospel in a word is love. Love your neighbor like sister or brother. Love, love, love. Who's heard that before? Raise your hand if you heard. Good, because you're going to lead everybody else in singing it with me. You ready? Love, 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 love. The gospel in a word is love. Love your neighbor as sister or brother. Love, love, love. To love, then, is to obey 613 laws and rules and commands. For if you love someone, you will never do him or her wrong. Amen.